How many times have you asked God, Lord, let me in on this. Let me see what you're up to in this storm. Jesus was trying to show them that, listen, there may be a storm raging around you, but when you have faith in me, I am over the storm.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Living by Our Faith and was recorded live at the Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today is living by our faith. That's today's message. What do I mean by living by our faith? Well, let's please stand while I read the Holy Word of God. Key verse is going to be Matthew 14, verse 28. I'm reading now the New King James Version today. That's Matthew 14, 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Heavenly Father, we come to you in praise and worship today, Lord. God, we ask that you will open our hearts and that you will bless us with your word and let us retain your word and let us go forth to apply your word to our lives and to the lives of others. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Well, now listen, this verse might sound a little confusing at first, but what's happening is this is the situation where Jesus is walking on water, and Peter saw him walking on water, and he said, hey, if that's you, then command me to walk on the water. What Peter was saying is, I want to be up to what Jesus is up to. Peter wanted to be like his teacher. Peter wanted to get in on what God was doing. He saw God doing a miracle and he says, hey, I want to join you. I want to get in on the action. I'm going to tell you something. The waves were crashing over. Jesus was walking on the water and Peter said, call to me and I'll do it too. How many times have you seen a storm in your life, and you recognize that God was in that storm? How many times have you asked God, Lord, let me in on this. Let me see what you're up to in this storm. Jesus was trying to show them that, listen, there may be a storm raging around you, but when you have faith in me, I am over the storm. I am in control of the storm, and the storm does not affect me. One of the things that we have to remember is that when God calls you, sometimes it's in the middle of your storm. But it takes faith to answer that call. I don't know about you, but I think I'd be a little bit worried about walking out on the water in the middle of a storm. It is not enough to know about God. Plenty of people know about God, or even to know his son Jesus died for you. That's not enough. Plenty of people have heard the message. Jesus told many people in his day, and they still killed him. A Christian must have faith in God through Jesus in order to live a victorious life filled with good works. Good works. Pastor, I thought that good works didn't get me to heaven. No. You see, good works does not give you salvation. Your salvation produces good works. See, once you've been saved and you've been forgiven and you have faith in that and you believe that, what you want to do now is you want to express that. You become so overjoyed with the fact that God really has forgiven you, that you have such faith in him, that you know a better day is coming, that the good works are produced through you. Because that is when you say, Lord, I don't deserve what you have given me through Jesus Christ. I have been nothing but a sinner my whole life, and I'm still a wreck right now. But I know and believe and have faith that Jesus Christ died for me. How can I thank you? I can never thank you. How can I express my thanks? And God will start speaking to you. And in faith, you will obey what he's asking you to do. I would pray that many, many times. And God started me out passing out Bibles at my work. But Lord, this is not enough for me to do. It'll never be enough, James, but this is your starting point. And as I learned to pass out Bibles, I had people asking me to pray for them. And as I had people to pray for and pass out Bibles to, the Lord started having people call me and I started ministering to them. And as I started passing out Bibles and praying for people and ministering to them, the Lord started setting up a church for me. Amen? It's step by step through faith that God brings you along. But if you don't have faith, you will not listen to what he is telling you that you need to do. You'll just discard it. That can't be from God. That doesn't make any sense. How can God get me to a church as pastor by passing out Bibles? Step by step by step. It doesn't happen overnight. We live in a microwave society. I want it now. Don't make me wait in aisle number one. You should hand me my food as soon as I order it. That's how we sometimes treat God, right? God, I want it now. I want the storm to be over with now. God, I don't understand what you're doing in this storm. And God says, I'm refining you. Don't you know that storms blow things away in your life that God can't use? That's what the winds of the storms are for, to get some of that stuff off of you. Praise God. And to blow some faith into your life. So point number one, living by our faith allows us to live above our trials. Everybody say, my faith allows me to live above my trials. If you have faith in God and his word, then you will believe Isaiah 40:31, which says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. What does it mean to wait on God? Well, it does require patience, but there's another way of waiting on God. It means to be doing what God is asking you to do at the time he asks you to do it. Like a restaurant waiter, they wait on you. The waiter comes to your table and you give him the order and he goes, does it, right? And you get mad and upset and disappointed if he doesn't do it. So we got to wait on the Lord. We got to come to God and say, what must I be doing? And God will show you and your strength will renew. But then it goes on to say this, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. Did you know that an eagle doesn't have to go through a storm? An eagle is a high flying bird. And when the storm comes, the eagle can fly above the storm. God can give you those wings. Now, that doesn't mean the storm goes away, right? It just means that you're flying above it. The storm can't get around you. Amen? It's below you because your God has lifted you up. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, I know Christians that are going through stuff. Strong Christians with faith. And they're not weary. They're not fainting. They're not saying, oh, what is God going to do? I got naysayers in my life that doubt my God because they're looking at me. They're looking at me. But what they can't see is my faith in my God. My God will see me through. If he placed me somewhere, he's going to keep me there until he's ready to move me. You can't move me. They can't move me. And I certainly don't want to move me. It may not make sense to everybody, but God has a plan for my life. And he has a plan to use me in other people's lives. So my time is in his hands. And no one and nothing can move me because my God has mounted me on wings of eagles. And I'm flying high above. Amen. A Christian's faith is their lifeline. With faith, a Christian is lifted up even when the whole world is coming down on them. Do you think being pastor is easy? It's not. Do you think being a Christian is easy? It's not. Do you think that being a minister of God is easy? It's not. The attacks come out of the woodwork. Go to work sometime and start preaching Jesus. and watch your coworkers turn against you. Maybe not all at once, but it'll happen. Start preaching Jesus in your neighborhood and watch the trouble start to flow. But with faith, God will get you through. God will get you through with faith. Amen? We all know that people will let you down, right? People will let you down, won't they? One minute they're your friend, next minute they change their phone number. Friends will desert you. Family will disown you. How many of you have been disowned by family? Don't raise your hand. Family! People that are supposed to stick with you, love you, care about you. Family will disown you, talk bad about you, curse you to your face, do mean and vile things, and they're your family. Just imagine what all the other people will do. Somebody once told me, I don't need any enemies. I got family. But God will uphold us. Put your faith in God. God says that he will uphold you with his righteous right hand. Jesus Christ is the truth, the life, and the way. God is never going to change. He is never going to desert you. He is never going to give you lip service. He is never going to give you a word out of his Bible and then take it back from you and say, no, I lied. Amen. Isaiah 41:10, this is what God says to the Christian. This is the relationship that we have with God. This is what God says. Fear not, for I am with you. Man, when God says he is with you, what else do you need? Why are you afraid when God's telling you, I'm with you? Be not dismayed, for I am your God. See, I don't believe in Buddha. I don't believe in Muhammad. I don't even believe in myself. And I certainly don't believe in other people. Because we just went over that, didn't we? Be dismayed, for I am your God. I am your God. I will strengthen you. You can't get strength from your friends. You can't get strength from your bank account. You can't get strength from nothing unless God is giving it to you. And then God says, yes, I will help you. Woo, give me some of that help, God. I'll take it. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Praise God. You see, for those of you who don't know me, I'm lifted up by the Father with his righteous right hand. You can't touch me. You can't reach me. You can't get to me. Because my God is like, nope, I got him up here. You can jump for me. You can holler for me. But my God's got me way up above you. My enemies can't touch me where God's got me. It frustrates them. Why can't I get rid of this guy? Why won't he go away? Because my God is upholding me with his righteous right hand. He's got a plan for me. And nobody can take it away from me. Praise God. A Christian's strength comes from God himself. This isn't something that I gave me. This isn't something that the church has given me. This isn't something that the world has given me. God himself has given me the strength. And God lifts them above their circumstances. And no one and nothing can bring them down. That's what the Christian has, who has faith in God. The only person that can let you down is yourself with your lack of faith. Number two, faith tests the waters between the known and the unknown. Peter did not trust the water. He trusted Jesus. When he looked at Jesus walking on the water, he saw Christ and he wanted to come to Christ regardless of the circumstances around him, regardless of the danger, regardless of the situation or the circumstances. He said, I want to come to Jesus no matter what. And then he asked for it. If you read the passage, you will find that Peter did walk on water for a short time. But the Bible goes on to say that he looked at the water. He looked at the waves and they started to come up and he became fearful and he began to sink because his faith faltered. Listen to me. When you are in fear, you are without faith. When you are in faith, you are without fear. You cannot have both at the same time. There is no excuse in front of God when he has commanded something in your life and you claim that you're too afraid to do it. The Bible says in the book of Revelations that the cowards will be cast into hell. Because God is a mighty God. And when we have faith in him, we can do all things through him who gives us that strength. Amen. When we notice God doing something, we should be daring enough to join him. As a church, we should be looking around and saying, God, I notice you doing something in here. What can I do to be enlisted into that service? What can I do to get involved? I don't know. I don't have very many skills, God, but if you show me something that will challenge me, something that will scare me a little bit, maybe I can grow a little bit. See, you can't grow without a little bit of a challenge in your life, can you? Men, you lift weights. Why? Because it gives your muscles a challenge, don't it? But if you went around lifting feathers, how big do you think you'd be? You need some challenges. Many times we fail to participate in God's work because we are simply too afraid to test the waters. This church took faith. It took faith with the small congregation inside of the garage where we started from. A garage. But the people that went there believed that if I tithe, even though I don't see how it's going to happen, we're going to get out of here one day. It took faith. It took courage. Now, we've been elevated to a new height. Now, we must go further. Amen? Now, we need to come to God and say, Lord, show me something that I need to be doing to get involved. Peter did not wait for an invitation. Did you guys hear me? Peter did not wait for an invitation to walk on the water. Instead, he dared to walk on the water to reach Christ. See, sometimes we're always saying, well, I'm waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God to tell me what to do. No, you got to say, Lord, I see a need. I see a challenge out there. Use me. I can't do it on my own, God. You got to give me the strength to do it because I'm just a weak vessel. But with you filling me up with your Holy Spirit, I can walk on water. Praise God. Just me, Jesus, and my faith. My faith. But without faith, you're not going to ask God for anything. Without faith, you're going to hold your head down and cower away and walk away disappointed. You got to have faith. Not in yourself. Not in your family. Not in your friends. In God himself. Knowing that if Jesus died for you, he's not going to stop caring for you ever. He's already done the most miraculous thing you could ever imagine him doing. He gave his one and only begotten son to die for you. Why would he stop caring for you at that point? No, he's going to see you all the way through. I want us to be a victorious church. I want us to march and take this city by storm. I want people to look at this church and say, wow, they got faith. They got faith and they're spreading it everywhere they go. And you can't shut these people up about Jesus. They really believe in him. Christians today need to take more risks with their faith. We need to ask God to challenge us. When we leave here today, I want you guys to get alone with God and say, Lord, challenge me. Show me something, God. Grow me, God. I'm tired of the same old, same old. Where am I going in my life, God? Nowhere without you. See, it takes faith to ask God that. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to ask God for any challenges. He might make me a missionary. I don't know what God might do in my life. I'm scared of what God might do. I remember the first time my old pastor told me I was going to be a pastor. I ran from his office, literally got away from him. That was many, many years ago. I was scared out of my mind. I was like, there ain't no way. God caught up with me. Can you tell? You can run, but you can't hide. See, and the longer you run, you're the one that gets tired, not God. Finally, you just tucker yourself out running from him, and you're sitting still, and he says, ah, there you are. Third point I want to make is faith realizes that God has us securely in his loving arms. Faith realizes that God has us securely in his loving arms. What does that mean? Well, listen to John 10:29. My Father, this is Jesus speaking, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. God is talking about us, his children. The word here is Jesus is saying, listen, all the people that come to me, Christ, nobody can take back. Nobody can get their hands on them. They're mine. Mine always, eternally. So even though, as Christians, we're still living and breathing right now, we are still Jesus's. No one's going to take you away from him. No one's going to snatch you out of his hands. You are his to keep. Now, if you belong to him, then you need to get in with the program and start acting like him. Amen? Because now you have a new father as a Christian. And children should be like their parents, right? God is loving and caring and pure. We should mimic that. We should pray for that. We should ask for the strength of the Holy Spirit to become loving and caring and pure. Are we perfect? No. Is that an excuse? No. We are to strive to be like our Father in heaven because faith realizes that God has us securely in his loving arms. Nobody can touch you when you're in the grace of God. God not only saves us, but he also keeps us safe eternally. So it's not just, well, I received Jesus Christ and now I can just not worry about that anymore. That's not faith. Don't you understand that when you become a Christian, you become a part of a family? People need to know that they can count on you. People need to know that the God you profess is the God that you take after. You go to work and you start cussing people. You start hollering at people. You start backstabbing and gossiping people. What does that say about you when you live a lifestyle like that? I'm not saying that we don't ever mess up because we do, but I'm talking about a regular thing. You're on the phone talking more about people than you are about God. What does that say about you? Seriously. Doesn't say a whole lot, does it? Doesn't say a whole lot about your faith, does it? If you care about someone, you're going to talk about someone. And people who know me, they know I talk a lot about God. Sometimes they have to tell me to shut up. Others say, keep talking, brother. Joshua 1:5. Listen to this promise. Listen to this promise. As a Christian, this is what you have. Joshua 1:5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Let me tell you something about this. Your enemy is nothing to God. No man will stand against you. No person can come up against you. You got the Almighty God as your shield. So your enemies, they might come at you. They might try to attack you. I'm not saying that you won't be attacked. What I'm saying is you won't be defeated. You won't be defeated. Yeah, you might be hurt. You might be wounded. The Bible says that a righteous man falls 7 times, but God lifts him back up. Everybody in here has an enemy. I can tell by looking at your face. But did you know your biggest enemy is you? Look in the mirror and you will see your biggest enemy. That enemy is the one who's not talking to God on a regular basis. That enemy is the one who is not reading the Word of God every day. That enemy is the one who is not devoting their life, gifts, and abilities to God every day. That's the enemy you got to worry about. The enemy within inside you. The enemy that wants to get out called the flesh. That says, I want it my way. This is church. This ain't a religion. This is a relationship. And God will protect those who are diligently seeking him through faith. Joshua had faith. And God was telling him, I got a promise for you. And you listen, he's got the same promise for us. That no man shall be able to stand before us all the days of our life. And as he was with Moses, he will be with us. He won't ever leave us nor forsake us. He cares about us. This is a huge promise. This is a huge promise. God cares for his children. He is interested in us and watches over us. You know that God knows every single hair on your head? He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows every single thing about your life, about your past, your present, and your future. He knows where you're going. He knows where you've been. He knows what you're thinking right now. A life of faith devoted to God is the only way to please him. See, listen. It's good that you give to the church. I appreciate it, and God appreciates it. But if you don't do that giving in faith, you haven't pleased God. The faith is what moves God. Your faith is what gets his attention. Now ask yourself this. Have you ever tried to help somebody and you know what you're talking about and they have no faith in you? And they look at you like you're the biggest dummy in the world and they asked you for help. How many times in our life do we come to God and say, help me, God, help me. And then he tells you what to do and you don't do it. And you don't do it because you don't believe it's going to work. You don't believe it's going to work. See, sometimes God has to drill it into us over and over again that faith pleases him, because faith will have us do what he tells us to do, because what he tells us to do is good for us. If we question everything that God tells us to do, we stop believing that he has us securely in his hands. We start thinking, well, if I listen to God, then this and that and that and this could happen and I could be in bigger trouble. Well, that's ridiculous, because God would never lead you into trouble. That's why it takes faith in knowing who God is, not just what he is, but who he is. Who he is to you, a relationship. God loves you, he cares for you, and he didn't even spare his son for you. So now what? His son died so that you may live eternally, and he's going to steer you wrong in your life so you can fall off a cliff? That's not faith. That's ridiculous, isn't it? What it really is, it's the flesh saying, I don't want to listen to God. Because God doesn't let me do the fun things. But see, your flesh will get you to do some things that are fun, and you'll pay for them later. You will. You will. You'll pay for them later. I know plenty of people who had a lot of fun, and they wish they never had that kind of fun. Hebrews 11:6. And take note of this, because this is your relationship with God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. It's not going to happen. Ever. It is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. You got to believe. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I was talking to somebody about a week and a half ago about rewards. I guess they thought that God doesn't reward people. But it says right here, he is a rewarder. But without the faith that God is a rewarder, you ain't going to get no reward. Because you didn't believe. You have to believe to receive. You have to have faith to please him. You want to impress God? Have faith. Say, God, show me a lake that I can walk on. Show me some water with a storm in it. I want to walk on it, God. If it means that I have to do that to serve you, bring me there. Bring me there. In conclusion, I want to say, number one, God rewards our faith with a deeper relationship with him. See, forget about all the materialistic things. Those things come when you're ready for them. You want stuff from God? You got to get some faith inside of you, to the point where God knows that you're going to do the right thing with the stuff you're asking for. Otherwise, you're just asking for more stuff to please yourself. God wants to wait until you're mature spiritually enough to reward you with materialistic things so that you're a good steward of those things and not wasting them all on yourself. See? God rewards our faith with a deeper relationship with him. If you really want to know God, build your faith, read your Bible, pray to him. Hang out with Christians. Get rid of your ungodly friends. If your friends are walking around cussing all the time, say, bye. I don't talk like that, and I don't want to talk like that, and I'm going to learn it from you if I keep hanging around you. Your friends drink. And I had a discussion about this with somebody at the church last week. Found alcohol in their car. I said, what is the alcohol doing in your car? Well, it's not me, Pastor. I'm not drinking. I went fishing with people that drink. I said, you ain't to be hanging around people when they're out there drinking. That stuff will rub off on you. What if somebody saw you? Pastor, you know who I saw drinking? It would look bad, wouldn't it? And they weren't drinking. You keep hanging around people that are doing something wrong, you will find yourself indulging in the same thing. Don't tolerate that stuff in your life. Ask God to elevate you above it. Praise God. Our faith in God leads us to bigger and better adventures with Him. Tired of the same old, same old? Tired of sitting at home watching the same TV shows? Bored out of your mind? Life has no fizz to it anymore? Give God a try. He will shake up your whole entire life and bring you on an adventure you never dreamed of. You will be meeting people from all walks of life. He will take you through places that you thought you would never be able to make it through. And you'll have fun doing it because your worries will be cast aside. God will say, I got you. Don't worry about this. See, when you're a Christian and the storms come, that's God's way of shaking up things in your life. That's the way God brings an adventure into your life, not to hurt you, not to scare you, but to grow you, to bring you through exciting times, to show you, look, nothing can touch you. Amen? Only a Christian can go through a rainstorm and not get wet, praise God. And last, our level of faith dictates what God can and can't do in our lives. Your level of faith. See, listen. Right now, somebody in this room is hearing something from God in their heart. I know you are, because God is telling me this. You're hearing something. I don't know who it is. But right now, God is speaking to somebody, maybe more than one person. And He is saying to them what He wants out of their life. It might be something as simple as coming up here and getting salvation. It might be that simple. I don't know. But there's always a starting point, right? And God is talking to somebody right now at the sound of my voice saying, listen, I got something for your life. And here's where you start. But God, that doesn't make sense. Well, my ways are not your ways, right? Sometimes we try to make sense of what God's telling us and we don't understand that there's a starting point. There's a place where we have to start at, right? So that God can get us to the next step. With me, it was passing out Bibles. That was my starting point. And God is still blessing that ministry. Just a while back, somebody bought me a whole case of Bibles. We got tons of Bibles back there to give out for free. Listen, 9 years ago, He started me passing out Bibles, and people are still buying me cases of Bibles to hand out. I don't pay for Bibles anymore. Not unless I want to, but the ones I hand out, people are always buying for me to hand out. He's still blessing that ministry because I was obedient in it. Sometimes I had to say, no more Bibles, God. There's too many. And He says, your cup runs over when you're dealing with me. You'll get rid of them, because I will send the people that need them. That's why I get the free stuff, because God knows that I don't hang on to stuff. I give it where God tells me to give it to. You see what I mean? That's why He continues to bless it. That's why He continues to give me more and more and more, because He says, my servant will give. I can trust Him with my stuff. This is what I was trying to talk about when we're having faith with God. God will continue to bless you with each and every step He takes you through when you learn obedience and you learn that you can trust Him with the things that He's given you. God, do you want me to give this away? Yes. Okay, God. I don't need it as bad as I have to give it. I don't need it that bad that I have to hang on to it and disobey you. So to this day, 9 years later, my Bible ministry is still being blessed. Praise God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awardfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.